Mark is a beautiful gospel. You guys hear me talk about that all the time, how much I love the gospel of Mark. And part of its miraculous charm is the way in which it depicts the utterly boneheaded disciples. Today is a prime example. As Jesus has just been privately teaching his apostles what his real mission is on earth, the gravity of his identity, the purpose of his ministry, they are just concerned with who's the greatest one? Like kids in the back of the station wagon. But when Jesus pulls the metaphorical car over to take care of the backseat mayhem, he doesn't physically knock heads together, but he sure does shake them up. Jesus provides a sobering example of what being great really is and what power means. Power is such a loaded word because abuse of power is all around us and it's enacted in so many kinds of ways. We see it in schools and corporations, big and small. We see it in governments and we see it in the church. Right now, there's such pain for the Catholic Church as it deals with incidents of abuse of the powerless and subsequent cover-ups. And so many good and faithful Catholics are struggling to make sense of what went wrong in parts of the institution that has nurtured and nourished them. I'm not hating on the Catholics right now because abuse of power has happened in so many corners of the world and in every denomination. At some level, power that is corrupted, greatness that has somehow been misguided. The Apostle Paul even used his influence and power when he was Saul and his greatness to literally hunt down Christians who he believed that had violated Mosaic law. He zealously harassed and even jailed anyone who followed the teachings of Jesus. We all know how the power of God knocked him off his horse on the road one day and how his life took an about face. Through God's grace, Paul was able to realize that power is in and through Christ and not himself. It's not in the laws. It's not in money or wealth. It's not in empires or institutions. In our modern world, we often forget or do not know all this grace of God that can change lives. We put aside the truths of Christ's idea of greatness and tuck them away to the margins of our moral imaginations because it's exactly the opposite from what the world views. It's like second nature in our world to adopt society's playbook of greatness, which is usually all about power over, or wealth, or control, or status, or influence. Criteria that's set by people that don't have the gospel in mind. But Jesus keeps reminding us, tapping us, pulling the car over to tell us that we have greatness and power all wrong. While we push each other around at the office or at church or in the Target parking lot, trying to vie for being number one, Jesus has a message that we just can't ignore no matter how hard it is to hear, that whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all. The early Christian audience of the Gospel of Mark would have immediately gotten the shocking reference of Jesus using the example of a child to prove his point. You see, children were the lowest in the social standing in the first century because children could not contribute to the economic value of the household and had zero authority. It was the opposite of our child-centered households today. When Jesus took a child and put her in front of the disciples and said, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." He wasn't saying, "Oh, look at this adorable child. Be nice to kids and that'll make you a good Christian." No. He was saying that if you welcome, and by welcome, I mean not just saying hi. I mean feed them, clothe them, help them, the lowest of the low, then you are doing the right thing. If you treat the people on the bottom of the social ladder like family, then you are welcoming God in your midst. But to do this radical thing that Jesus asks of us, we must rearrange what we think greatness and power are. Our gospel today and its inclusion of this story is really telling us something essential about believing in Jesus. When God took on human form in the incarnation, it completely flipped every assumption of greatness and power upside down. God, becoming human in Jesus, decided that greatness is not about separation, but solidarity. It's not about better than, but it's about relationship. It's not about self-adulation, but empowerment and encouragement of the other. Greatness is about being last because in love and generosity, we've put everyone else ahead of us. Power is about love and justice, not physical constructs. Therefore, greatness is not determined by feats of strength and military might, but by weakness and vulnerability. Greatness and power are not determined by how many people that we manage, by how many people that we serve and sacrifice for, by humility and honor, by truthfulness and faithfulness. Martin Luther King Jr. gave a sermon about this very topic, and part of it said, "Jesus gave us a new norm of greatness. If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant." That's a new definition of greatness. It means that everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love, and you can be that servant. In the kingdom of God, everyone is the greatest. In God's dream for all of creation, we will all be number one because we will be the best at serving each other, creating safety and equity and peace. Power will be love implementing justice. Greatness will be measured in servitude. So as we work for this dream, as the hands and feet of our Savior, let our hearts be filled with grace, and let Christ within us shine as we strive to serve others so that the world can witness the true meaning of greatness born from love. Amen.